Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5, and we are going to read verses 16 through 26 together. Read this passage responsively. Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust, in lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let's finish on verse 26 together. Ready? Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And let's pray. Father, again, we sure do thank you for what you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit, would you teach us the Word of God tonight? Would you help us as I listen to you and have spent time with you in your book and with you this week? May I be able to bring back to your people what you have for us tonight. Would you help us? Would we focus our minds on the Word of God especially? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you go to the average, what the world calls Christian bookstore, there are shelf after shelf of books about what non-denominationalists call the fruit of the Spirit. There's a lot of time spent on the topic of the fruit of the Spirit. Most people have a hole in their head big enough to drive twin Mack trucks through that write and teach on it, have no idea what God says about it. I'll be honest with you. I think many Baptists have been influenced by non-denominationalism so much that you have accepted something about the fruit of the Spirit that's not true. I really believe that. I'm going to make some statements. Some of you, I hope you get mad enough at me tonight to look in your Bible and prove me wrong. But I promise you one thing, you won't be able to. I think you'll prove it to be right. God wants the Christian to be productive and to produce fruit. John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman in me, beareth fruit, says that you should bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. God wants us to produce fruit, not just fruit, but more fruit. Then he says, I want you to produce much fruit. Here's the thing. We look at that through sinful eyes. We look at that through sinful flesh. We look at it through human flesh. Things in heaven and things the way God originally made them from heaven are different than what we have on earth today. Do you realize that not just you as a human being have been cursed because of sin, but God cursed the ground? God cursed the earth. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. I'm going to show you something. I used this recently. I'm not sure if it was in a Wednesday night Bible study or another sermon, but I'm going to use a verse that I have used before, and we're going to launch into something here. Revelation 22, verse number 2. Well, let's start in verse 1. This is talking about heaven. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. Notice the the word there. 12 manner of fruits. Okay? Watch this. And yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now look at me. There, by the way, this isn't a tree. This is a type of tree. Just like there's more than one oak tree. There's more than one apple tree. Say, how do you know that? In the midst of the street and on either side of the river. Guess what? You can't have one tree that hits both sides of the river. It's planted down along the river banks on both sides. The Bible says that there is a tree that has 12 manner of fruit that bears fruit every month. That means that it bears fruit 12 months a year. Now listen to me. The Bible does not say whether that means all 12 fruit are on the tree at the same time or if it bears a different fruit each month. I have no idea. You say, well, when will we find out? When you die and go to heaven or when the rapture takes place and we get there? After that, I don't care. And what good will it do you to know right now anyway? God gave us enough information to know there's 12 fruit on that one tree and it bears fruit 12 months a year. And by the way, that's different than what we have here on earth. I do know that it produces 12 kind of fruit 12 months a year. Now, listen very carefully. Here on earth, we get used to what we have. Our trees produce fruit once a year. Maybe, depending on the tree, you might get two growing seasons, like orange trees and grapefruit trees. You might get twice a year out of. But past that, that's it. We're so used to the thought of, well, that's it. And by the way, you don't get cherries off of a peach tree. You don't get cherries off of an apple tree. Here, you get apples off apple trees. You get cherries off cherry trees, peaches off peach trees, and walnuts off walnut trees. Guess what? In heaven, there are trees that bear 12 different kinds of fruit 12 months a year. You say, I don't understand that. You're not God, nor are you in a perfect place that has not been cursed by sin. And it is a tree of life. It is a life-giving tree. Now, listen very carefully to me. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. 9 different things. And I've heard, and I don't think bad, but I've heard people say, well, all 9 of those make up the one fruit. I don't see how that works. I do know that according to heaven, there are trees that bear 12 manner fruit. Guess what? I think then that there could be 9 types of fruit on that fruit of the Spirit. Make sense to everybody? Hang in there for a second. It's not all one. Now, here's where some of you will get mad at me. If you'll stay long enough and listen to me rather than criticize me in your mind while I'm preaching, you'll find out I'm coming back around to this and I support what you think more than you think I do. The fruit of the Christian is not another Christian. We are not to bear another Christian. We're to bear the fruit of the Spirit. According to the Bible, we cheat God and we cheat ourselves if all we do is go soul winning. Now listen to me. But you will win more souls if you have the fruit of the Spirit. Did you catch that? Some of you that got mad at me with the first part of that? The more of the fruit of the Spirit you have, the more people you will have saved. I believe that. The more love you have, the more people you reach. The more joy you have, the more people you reach. The more peace you have, the more people you'll reach. The more long-suffering you have, the more people you'll reach. The more gentleness you have, the more people you'll reach. The more goodness you have, the more people you reach. The more faith you have, the more people you'll reach. The more meekness you have, the more people you reach. The more temperance you have, the more people you will reach. So if you will get the fruit of the Spirit, you will see more people get saved. Now, hang in there. I know some of you are about to string me up, let me use Scripture. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at verse number 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits ye shall know them. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. A few books over. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Well, it's in there somewhere. I didn't borrow Brother Smith's Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look at verse number 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Notice, fruits. Now look at me. So many of us think that means one thing. The more of this I have, the more people I have saved. But it doesn't say your fruit, it says your fruits, plural. Hang in there, we're going somewhere. It also says he that ministereth seed. Philippians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, just a few pages over from where we were. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse number 11. If you doubted me before, this one will clarify it. Look at verse number 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto glory and praise of God. God says there are fruits of righteousness. Okay? Now, if we are to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, let me ask you a question. How can you be filled with getting people saved? How do you fill yourself up with that? You don't. How do you fill yourself up with people you win to Christ? Now, I believe when a person is controlled or yielded to the Holy Spirit, they will see people get saved, and they'll see more people get saved than people who are not controlled by the Spirit or yielded to the Spirit. Now, listen to this statement very carefully. Everybody look at me for just a second. Let me see your God-given eyeball, not the top of your head. I know lost people who have won people to Christ. How many of you know somebody that was lost, that won somebody to Christ? Raise your hand. Okay? So I'm not alone in this. There's about 8 or 10 of you in here at least. I know a lost pastor who preached and had people saved. He was lost. Had been preaching for many years, then got saved. Now wait a minute. If he were lost, he was not able to be led by the Spirit. Was he sincere? Yes, he was. Do I think he was a good person? Yes, he was, but he was lost till he got saved. God wants people to get saved so badly, he doesn't care how the gospel gets out. He just wants the gospel out. Everybody understand that? I know lost people who have translated the gospel to somebody to get saved, and they were lost. I was on the mission field. I had to use a translator. I used a translator that wasn't even saved. He helped people get saved. After he helped enough people get saved, he looked at me and said, "Is there a chance I could do that?" I said, "Sure is. You understand English. I can win you real fast." Now, wait a minute. There comes a point in time. God wanted the gospel out. And his seed will not return void. It doesn't matter who sows it, it's going to get, you know, a farmer wants things planted. But if he's got help, he doesn't have to plant it. If you went out and helped him on his farm and planted a 100-acre field, guess what? Bless you. If you planted it, he'd still reap the benefits of that, right? Guess what? He'd be foolish to go out there and tear it all up because he didn't plant it. So God wants the seed of the Word of God sown so badly he can use it no matter who sows it. Boy, that's important stuff. Now listen to me very carefully. Let me say this. I believe it is the job of the Christian to go win people to Christ. Yes, I do. It's our responsibility. If you've been saved, it's your responsibility to tell other people about Jesus Christ. But that is not the only thing you're supposed to do. The Bible says that you are to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit of God. By the way, the Holy Spirit spent most of his life in heaven. He looks at life from a heavenly perspective, not from an earthly perspective. Tonight, I want you to get closer to your God. I want you to understand the fruits of the Spirit more so that you can see more people get saved. So that you can see more people's lives changed. Now, if you'll listen to me, it's going to be a little bit more like a Wednesday night Bible study, but I've got to lay some groundwork so that you don't think I'm preaching heresy. You ready? When we get our seed from the crop we harvest. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 6. Second Timothy 2:6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Look at me. In Bible days, they didn't go to Lowe's and pick up their seed packets and go plant the field. When they harvested a crop, you know what they did? They took the best of their seed, put it aside so that they could plant it the next year. They took from what they grew to be the crop for the next crop that they would grow. Everybody understand that? So that's why the Bible says the husbandman must be partaker first. He had to take out of that the seed that he could sow for the next season in that crop. If he didn't, he had to trade it for what he wanted. Okay? Now, you cannot sow seed you do not have. If I wanted to go out and plant 100 acres of corn, but I didn't have any corn seed, guess what? I'm not going to plant 100 acres of corn. Say, that just makes sense, Brother Bush. All right. You don't go to the store and buy it. You had to harvest it yourself or trade for it. Now, turn to James chapter 3. Just a few more pages over to the right there. Hebrews, James chapter 3. Look at verse number 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Hey, did you notice? That sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. Look at how many of these words show up here. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, in good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Wow. God says you can't sow peace unless you make peace. God says you can't sow these fruits if you don't have these fruits. God says you have to have those fruit of the Spirit to be able to sow those fruit of the Spirit. Do you know it's hard? By the way, that's why a Christian should never date a lost person. Because that lost person cannot love you. There's no seed of love in a lost person. They don't have the ability to love you. They have the ability to lust you, but not love you. Young people, listen to me. Don't date lost people. Don't hang around them. They don't have the ability to love you. They can show affection. They can be like a puppy dog and give you attention, but they cannot love you in a way that God intends for you to be loved. Say, but I just love them. So you love them, but they don't love you. Boy, that's good stuff. God commands us to bear more fruit than just go soul winning. Soul winning is the byproduct and the easiest way to produce fruit. Do you know it's not hard to take your Bible, take a gospel tract, go out and knock on somebody's door and tell them how to get saved? It's a whole lot harder to live the fruit of the Spirit. It's a whole lot harder. You know, you don't have to love the person that you into Christ. But it's a whole lot harder to live your life a life of love. Have you ever noticed some people are not easy to love? Do you know it's not easy to live a peaceable life? Now listen to me very carefully. To have the fruits of the Spirit means the Christian really needs to convert their life after they've been saved. Now, listen to me very carefully here. A couple weeks ago, I preached a sermon, not just salvaged, but recycled. You can go out and pull scrap metal and plastics and coppers and pull them aside, and you can save it. You can salvage it from being destroyed. But if you don't take it somewhere and convert it and turn it into something else, is all you did is save it from the fire. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? God saved you to change you so that you could be filled with the Spirit, so that you could walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. And I'll explain all three of those terms here in a minute. So that you could see more people get saved. Boy, that's good. Look at Luke chapter 22. Let me back everything with Scripture, and I'm not going exhaustively into this, but I do want to help you. Luke 22, we're going to look at just a couple verses here because of time's sake, and I've got to hurry. Luke 22, let's look at verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Was Jesus looking at Peter and say, once you get saved, then you'll be able to strengthen your brethren? I know sometimes we use the statement, and I don't think it's a bad term. We'll go out and win somebody to Christ, bring them to church, and say, this is my convert. They're not a convert yet. They're a baby Christian, but they haven't been converted yet. They got saved, yes. They're not converted till their life gets totally changed around and they start living by the Spirit. That's when you get converted. Everybody doing okay? You can't live by the flesh and be converted. You cannot live by your emotions and be converted. I watch so many people make their decisions of life based on how they feel. Folks, my Bible says your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Why do we want to feel everything? There are some things in life, God doesn't care what you feel like, you're supposed to do it. You say, but I want a warm, fuzzy feeling. That's the Pentecostal in you. That's the emotions in you. That's not the Spirit of God. There were times I didn't feel like doing what I was supposed to do. But guess what? I had a daddy that stood over me and said, I don't care what you feel like, go do it. Well, Dad, I don't feel like taking the trash out. You think that one was going to fly very far? I felt like it later. There was parts of my anatomy that didn't feel like it, but I felt like doing it. Say, well, I just don't feel it. Who cares? God didn't say that the truth was going to be a feeling. He said it's an act of obedience. Boy, that's good stuff. After conversion, you'll see more fruit. I know brand new converts that see people get saved. But after they change their life, they see far more people get saved. Boy, that's good stuff. After conversion, you see more fruit. Listen to this statement. When you plant a seed, it must go in the earth and change. It has to die. I hate to say it this way. It has to rot before it can grow. God said for you to be converted, you have to put yourself under. You have to cover it up. Die to what you want. Die to what you thought you had. And let the power of God resurrect you into something that you weren't. Boy, that's good stuff. Number two, I've got to hurry. The Holy Spirit needs to control the Christian's life. The Holy Spirit needs to control the Christian's life for you to have the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5 again. Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says, look at chapter 5, verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Wow. Okay. I'm tired of what people call theologians screwing up the Bible. God chose every word in the Bible on purpose. God wrote the Bible, not man. I hate to tell you this, the Bible was written before man was created. That's according to Scripture. Now listen to this statement. Paul was used to pen the book of Galatians, but Paul didn't write Galatians 5:16. God wrote it. And God said, walk in the Spirit. Now to walk in the Spirit, Brother Smith's sitting down right there. He's not walking. But the Holy Spirit's moving. Guess what? He doesn't walk in the Spirit till he gets up off his carcass and starts walking beside and with the Spirit of God. God says you are supposed to walk in the Spirit. Thank you, Brother Smith. Too many people want to try to make the Bible ooky spooky. We've got to go deep and show you things that aren't there because you don't know what Paul was saying here under the inspiration of God. Paul didn't say it, bless God, God said it. And God didn't make his word hidden so people couldn't understand it. You know what it means to walk? It means you stand up, put one foot in front of the other, and keep moving. Boy, that's deep, Brother Bush. That's what the Bible says. That means where you go. God says you are to walk in the Spirit where you go. That means when you go to work tomorrow, you're supposed to walk in the Spirit. That means if you go shopping at Walmart, you're supposed to walk in the Spirit. That means if you go to the shop tomorrow, you're supposed to walk in the Spirit. That means if you're exercising, walk and sweat in the Spirit. This means how you go. Do you know that if I went to the store tomorrow, and I'm going to use something that's a bit crude, but if you'll listen to me, you'll understand. I've got to use the ridiculous to illustrate the obvious. If I go to Walmart tomorrow in nothing but my underwear, guess what? I'm not walking in the Spirit. You say, that's ridiculous, Brother Bush. You'd get in trouble. Why is it okay then to throw sand on the floor, get a bucket of water, sit there with a lamp on, and say, I'm at the beach, it's okay? Everybody doing okay? You go to any place where there's water and people wear there less than what they wear for underwear. If you walk down the street in nothing but your underwear, you'd be embarrassed, but you go out with a bunch of people laying on a beach somewhere or in the water somewhere with less than what you wear for underwear, and it's okay. That's not walking in the Spirit. Boy, that's good stuff. That means with whom you go. Do you know that if you're walking with somebody that is contrary to God, guess what? I don't think the Spirit has control, does he? That means where you go, how you go, and with whom you go. You're to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, the Bible also says, look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Oh, my soul. This is where our charismatic friends part ways. Oh, I have feeling. I'm being led by the Spirit. Nowhere does it say you'll feel the leading. He said you'll see the leading by the law. Turn to Romans chapter 8 before you get too awful mad at me. Well, I don't like West Virginia now, so I feel led to go. I know a lot of people in the late 70s and early 80s that felt led to go to Houston because of the oil boom. They followed the buck, and guess what? 10 years later, they were busted because the oil boom died in Texas. Then they had to feel led to go somewhere else. Boy, that's good stuff. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Notice that being led by the Spirit is dealing with suffering. If you're trying to get away from suffering and you use the excuse, well, I just feel led to get out of here, that's not what the leading of the Holy Spirit was for. It was to help you through the suffering, not lead you out of suffering. Everybody doing okay? We get this Baptist word of knowledge. Oh, I got a tough time coming. Yeah, you got a bill coming due, so what do you want to do? I want to be led by the Spirit to go somewhere else so I don't have to pay a bill. Gag. Quit being Pentecostal. Quit being charismatic. Say, I don't think you should call names, okay? When you preach, don't do it, but I will. Being led by the Spirit means he convicts you what the truth is. He shows you what the truth is. And by the way, the Spirit cannot lead outside that book right there. The Holy Spirit of God will never be contrary to that book right there. I promise you. Never. Because if he is, it's not the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible says, try the spirits to see if they are of God. How do you try the spirits? You look at the Word of God. You try the spirits to show them, are they following what the Word of God says? It's that simple. Boy, that's good stuff. Now, wait a minute. The Bible also says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That means we have to live in the Spirit of God. You have to live. Turn to 2 Timothy 1:4. Let me give you one more scripture. Man, I've got to hurry here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4. The Bible says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, and I think I'm in the wrong verse, but hang in there. Let me see if it's 1 Timothy 1:4. And I don't have time to piddle here. Okay, I'm just going to keep on moving here. We are a constant reminder to do things God's way and not the way of our flesh. To live in the Spirit means this. The Spirit is constantly reminding you to do what the Bible says, not what your flesh says. Listen to me very closely. Some of you will get upset with me because I don't get involved emotionally with your situation. I will make a decision based on principle, not by emotion. I have people that get upset with me. Well, you just don't care. Yes, I do. I care enough to tell you what the truth is to help you get through this. Will I hurt for you? Yes, I will. Do I feel sorry for you? Do I feel pain for you? Yes, I do. But guess what? I'll tell you what the truth is so that you can live in the Spirit, get through the suffering, get on the other side so that you can see more people get saved. Say why? Because that's what you're supposed to do. I was just talking to my mom a little while ago. My grandmother will be 96 next spring. She's asked me to do her funeral, but she can't personally ask me. She said she just can't find it in her to ask me to do her funeral. I'm honored. I would love to do it, not soon, but I would love to do it. Say why? Because I've done it for two of my other grandparents. I'd love to do it for her. And it's a way of me being able to express my love to my family about that lady. What an honor. Now, wait a minute. Don't you think I plan on crying a little bit when Grandma goes to heaven? I've called that woman every Saturday, every week of my life for a quarter century or more. That's no lie. I have failed in a lot of things, but I keep up with my grandma. I don't get to be with her, but I love that lady. Yeah, I'm going to hurt. Say, well, I don't know how you would do it. You separate the emotion, you work on what you need to work on, then you fall apart later. Boy, that's good stuff. Number next, and I'll finish. We must constantly yield to the Holy Spirit to get His fruit. Did you hear that? If you don't get anything, listen to this statement. We must constantly yield to the Holy Spirit to receive His fruit. If you notice, look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's a capital S, isn't it? That's a proper noun. That's in reference to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say small s, meaning our spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That means those are the fruit of what He is. Do you know how you get the fruit of what He is? You yield to Him. You submit to Him. You follow what He says. That means, that's what Galatians 5:24. Look at verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. God says, you yield to the Spirit by crucifying your flesh. That doesn't mean you go out and cut yourself and beat yourself and slap yourself upside the head. That means you die to your flesh. Notice it says your flesh with affections and lusts, your desires and your loves. You die to those things to let the Holy Spirit have control. Boy, that's good stuff. Brother Hiles taught me years and years and years and years and years ago. I cannot tell you that I do it as much as I should. But Brother Hiles used to do it 7 times a day. Those of you that listen to anything of Brother Hiles, when he got up in the morning, he would say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you the best I know how, and help me to help those whom Jesus would help if they crossed his path today. 3 hours later, he'd do it. Every 3 hours, he would do that. He would 7 times a day do nothing but stop and say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you the best I know how. Help me to help those whom you would help if you were in my shoes today. And he would do that 7 times a day. I know a pastor friend of mine. I've known him for 30 years almost. He has one of those watches that every hour it chirps. You all know what I'm talking about, that beep beep thing. When his watch would go beep, beep, that was his reminder to yield to the Holy Spirit. So every waking hour on the hour, he would stop where he was and yield to the Holy Spirit. Boy, that's convicting. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's not some spook in a vacuum somewhere. He's a person. Just like you are a person. Everybody doing okay? The Holy Spirit of God is a real person. Have you ever talked to Him? Have you ever yielded to him? Now, listen to this statement. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a commodity. You don't get the Holy Spirit one time, and listen to this statement, and you have everything that he is for the rest of your life. You get him when you get saved. You have access to everything he has, but guess what? It's not like he died and left you his inheritance. Notice in that some of those scriptures we read, the Bible says that you have the fruits of righteousness, being heirs with Christ and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have access to everything that Jesus is, everything that Jesus has through the Holy Spirit of God. But he doesn't die in your life and you get it one time and it's done. Boy, that's good stuff. You say, well, I yielded to him yesterday. Good, but you're about 23 and a half hours too late. You got to yield again. It is a constant source of yielding to the Holy Spirit. Everybody look at me for a second. That's why these misled people that get up, oh, I got it, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. No, you didn't. You sat on the floor and flopped around like a fish out of water, and I got it. No, you didn't. No, not one place in Scripture says that's what happens. Not one. Matter of fact, it's all emotionalism, and that's contrary to the Spirit. That's contrary to the Scripture. Because God said you would put your flesh, your emotions, your affections, and you would crucify them. All that emotional jibber jabber is garbage. It's fake. It's man wanting to be God, and it's not the Holy Spirit of God. Say, how do you yield? You say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I'll follow what the Word of God says, and you show me anything I'm contrary in, and show me what I'm doing right. That's how simple it is. Here's the thing. You got to know that book as much as you know the Holy Spirit. Because that book is the Word of God, which is Jesus, the Word of God, who is the other part of the Godhead. Boy, that's good stuff. It's like your child. Do you know that when you tell your child, Brother York's children are small, they're down front, Brother Logue's children. Brother Logue, have you ever told your children when they're real little, they have to obey? And you only told them one time and it was done forever, right? Huh. Brother York, did you tell your kids to obey? It told them one time and it was done forever, right? Guess what? You have to constantly get them to yield, don't you? That's exactly what God says. We are his children and we are to be constantly yielding to what he has. It's like a marriage. Can I tell you how you have a happy marriage? You yield to one another. You yield to one another. There are times I must give in on something I don't really want. Now, it doesn't mean it was bad. I just didn't want it. Okay, my wife and daughter this week made an emergency trip to Kentucky. My son's girlfriend was supposed to be rushed into emergency surgery on Tuesday. They left on Monday afternoon. My wife said, I just think I should be there. Her mom couldn't be up from Florida. Her dad couldn't get up from Florida to be with her. She said, that girl's going to be by herself. She said, what do I do? I said, let's work it out. I'll be honest with you. I did not want my wife to go. But it was the right thing to do. I separated the emotion. She had never driven that far by herself. Say, were you worried? Uh-huh. She's directionally challenged. And our GPS was in our car, which was at the dealership getting fixed because somebody creamed the rear end of my car. So I had a rental car on top of that. Say, what'd you do? I wrote out the directions. I gave him a map book. I had a copy of the directions. So I made sure, and I was texting, calling. Okay, you ought to be right about here. Yep, I see the sign for it. Good. I'm pretty good with direction here. I had never been to the hotel that they were going to, but I talked them right to the hotel because I followed the directions. They said, not sure we can get back. I said, take everything in reverse. Where it says north, put south. Or where it says south, put north. Where it says west, go east. Do this. And all the numbers will match up. I promise you. All the cities are the same all the way across there. I said, if you see some other city that you're coming to, wrong way, quickly. Okay, she's directionally challenged. I've got my wife 8 hours away in Lexington. This is not a good thing. I got to get her home. Wait a minute. I did not want that in my flesh. I wanted her with me. But it was the right thing to do. I had to put the emotion aside. Everybody understand what I'm talking about here? Employers and employees. Do you know sometimes as an employee, you need to shut up about what you want and do what the boss says? I know that's not real nice, but guess what? That's what he pays you to do. You're supposed to do what the boss says. Now, if he doesn't, if you think he's about to make a mistake and you try to tell him and he doesn't listen, guess what? He swings for it, not you. He's the one calling the shots. Just do it. Now, I won't take time to get into that one. As seeds yield to the ground, the rain, the sun, and the dryness, they are able to produce fruit. And as you yield to the Holy Spirit of God, you're able to produce the fruit of the Spirit in you. And as you produce the fruit of the Spirit, you will see more people get saved in your life. Say, what are those? By the way, I know Christians that will... They say they are trying to master the fruit of the Spirit. There's already a master of the fruit of the Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. You'll never master it. You just yield to it. When you feel the hair on your neck raise up and your ears are getting red because you're angry, guess what? You're not filled with the Spirit because the Holy Spirit is love. When you're about to blow your cool because you didn't sleep last night, you've had a rough day, you don't have meekness in your life, that's not because you're being led by the Spirit. You're not being led by the Spirit. You're being led by your flesh. When you feel like being a grouch because you're a grouch, guess what? The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Say, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite and fake what I'm not. Fake it till you make it. If you yield to the Holy Spirit when you're no grouch, guess what? You might find some joy in not being a grouch. Say, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Too late, you already are. Folks, where do we get this idea that the Bible says put on the Spirit of God? If I take my coat off, don't worry, it won't hurt you. But if I take that off, it doesn't make me less of what I am. And I am to put it on. That's how you put on the Spirit. You yield to it. I got to put my arms through the sleeves, pull that puppy around me to get it on. I have to yield to the coat. Guess what? You have to yield to the Spirit to get what you want. Boy, that's good stuff. So, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness, gentleness, goodness. And as you get those nine things by yielding to the Holy Spirit, guess what? You'll see more people get saved. You will see more people get saved in your life. You mean I have to win souls while I do all this? That's how you get it. See, some of you just want to go soul winning and forget the fruit of the Spirit. And you'll see people get saved. And I'm for you doing that. But you'll see more people get saved if you yield to the Holy Spirit. Find out what those fruit are. Work on what they are as you're winning people to Christ. And you'll see more people get saved. The fruit of the Spirit. It's a little different than what people say. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I promise you, it's not heresy. I promise you, if you'll live yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, you will see more people get saved in your life. I promise you. Say, I'm not seeing people get saved. How's your yielding to the Holy Spirit? How are the fruit of the Spirit in your life? I wonder. If you've never been saved, tonight you can come to this altar. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you've been saved, never baptized, we can take care of that tonight. If you need to join this church, we can take care of that tonight. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and get things right between you and your God, and between you and the Holy Spirit, and start yielding. And by the way, you don't yield one time and you got it forever. It's constantly, daily, multiple times a day.